Chapter 19, Preparing for Construction. The hardware store was only a short drive from the Alcadia's office. Inside the store reminded me of the hardware stores in Blythewood, only on a much smaller scale. One obvious difference was the absence of shelves. Almost everything was displayed on the walls. I assumed this was so the workers could watch people as they entered and easily tell what they were picking up to potentially purchase. The right wall was covered with a large assortment of small hand tools, while the left wall was covered with all kinds of plumbing supplies. Seeing Mike and Danilio negotiating with the store owner over the price for the bags of cement, I took my time looking over both walls to see if I saw anything I thought might be needed at the bridge site. Before the trip, I had purchased several tools at the hardware store in Blythewood, including a hammer and masonry trowel, to replace the ones I left at the bridge site in El Salvador. I had also purchased an inexpensive carpenter's framing square, because I remembered in El Salvador trying to square the end of the walking planks with a metal ruler, and thinking at that moment I would have given $20 for a framing square. After scanning over the tool wall several times, I saw two critical items, a package containing a roll of string and a line level. The string and line level would be needed in laying out the walls of the foundation tier. These two items, though simple, would be invaluable during this stage of the construction. As I walked up to the counter with the package, Mike held out his hand, gesturing me for money. The total for the 20 bags of cement was almost $200, which was almost as much as I had left for the week. Since I had already paid in advance for the motel, I handed him the remaining $100 bills from my wallet. This was another step of faith, that Milos would arrive on Friday to repay me from the bridge account. With the materials for the project now purchased, Mike and Danilio drove me back to the bridge site. Once there, Mike informed me of his travel plans for the week. He had explained to me earlier that Danilio wanted to show him other work projects in Managua, possibly for future mission teams. We then talked about my work schedule, the places I would eat, and my transportation to the bridge site each day. I could tell he was really making sure that he felt comfortable leaving me alone in the foreign town of Matiwas for 4 days. Personally, knowing I was called by God to be here and help these people build a bridge, I was not afraid of anything. As the van was leaving, I let out a sigh of relief. I needed some time alone at the river to not only thank God for this opportunity, but to observe a moment of silence to remember all the ones who had drowned over the decades trying to cross the river. Maybe, too, for a mental reality check of being a complete stranger to these communities, coming from a world away, to show them how to build a pedestrian walking bridge. It wasn't long before a gentleman came down, greeting me with a firm handshake. He was an elder from the Gavilan community, the one on the far side of the river. As I smiled and looked into his eyes, I imagined the stories he could tell me of his people struggling to cross the river in the winter months, if only I knew more Spanish. Standing there together, I pointed to the river and said a name as if asking a question, Orlando. There was an eerie moment of silence before he softly replied, "Sí," pointing down the river. There was nothing more to say, even if I could have. Turning around, I heard the sound of a truck. It was Big Oscar. I gave him this nickname because the driver of Danilio's passenger van is also named Oscar, though he is not nearly as round. As the truck rolled to a stop, I quickly peered in the back. 20 bags of cement, 42.5 kilograms, approximately 94 pounds, per bag. With the help of 4 other men, it took less than 10 minutes to unload the truck. Needing a break, I took the opportunity to take a picture of Santos standing beside the stacks of cement. He put on a big smile for the camera. I gently smiled back at him, knowing it would take more than 10 times this amount to finish the bridge. Not knowing when the sand or the stonemason would arrive, I signaled for everyone to follow me down to the near side excavation. A massive pile of stones was in front of the excavation pit, wrapping partially around one side. Most of the larger stones had already been placed close to the excavation pit, so I first motioned for those to be pushed over the edge. These larger stones would be used to form the 60 centimeter, 24 inches, thick walls of the foundation tier. Then I demonstrated how the other stones needed to be sorted into smaller piles, one pile for the small stones and one pile for the medium stones. I reasoned that by sorting the stones in this way, it would be easier for the community to recognize which side they needed to gather more of each day, though I had already observed a need to gather more of the larger stones. Let me take this moment to say that gathering stones is probably the most grueling and backbreaking work in building one of these suspended bridges. I remembered at the El Chocón bridge site in El Salvador, the team would gather the larger stones out of the river for several hours each morning and several hours each afternoon. Having a weak back, I would motion for one of the younger men to get me a big stone. It became almost a game, as each time I would signal larger, and they would struggle to dig out a river stone that they thought I couldn't carry. If they could get it on my shoulder, I would carry it. We spent the rest of that Monday afternoon sorting through the stone pile, including discarding the bad ones, meaning the sandstones. Sandstones are easy to pick out due to their light yellow appearance and also the characteristic of breaking apart very easily when dropped or hit with a hammer. Once I pointed out these were not suitable to build with, a discard pile was started just for them. Later that evening, as I packed my backpack to leave, I reviewed the checklist from Milos. The only thing I could actually check off at this point was the cement, since it was now at the bridge site. Hopefully the sand and stonemason would show up tomorrow so the construction of the near side foundation could begin. Anticipating that happening, I quickly checked the dimensions of the excavation. The dimensions were close, though one side appeared to need a little more dirt removed to make the wall straight. Since it was already late in the evening, this was something that could be verified in the morning. Climbing back out of the excavation, I saw Santos waving for me to come to the road. He was standing beside a young man on a dirt bike. The young man was his son, and this would be my mode of transportation to and from the bridge site each day. I honestly couldn't remember the last time I had ridden on the back of a motorcycle, let alone a dirt bike. Quickly adjusting my backpack and other belongings, we slowly started off. The 4 mile ride back to town was bumpy, but the sun setting behind the Nicaraguan mountains made it not only tolerable, but enjoyable.